It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Saturday night, September 14th, one of rock and roll's legendary figures and a prolific songwriter, Graham Nash, stops in Pittsburgh on an Eastern U.S. tour. Mr. Nash will perform as part of a trio with James Raymond and Shane Fontaine at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead. His honors include induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame two times, first as a member of Crosby, Stills & Nash, and then as a member of the Hollies. He is also in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and in 2010, he was appointed Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth. He joins us now by phone from Los Angeles. Graham Nash, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey there, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I understand that you don't perform as part of a trio, as you will be here all that often. Tell us what your fans can expect to see.
About 6 months ago, I did a benefit for Bradley Manning, who, of course, is all over the news today because of the, the dismissal of the charge against aiding the enemy that he went through. And it was a rather fast benefit to put together. I decided that I would play with our keyboard player, James Raymond, who is also, of course, David's son, and our guitar player that helped us out in the CSN band, Shane Fontaine. And we had such a great time that I thought, hey, we should do this more often. And I've never played with just these two guys before, and I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Much as many musicians recognize a good tune when they hear it, you never seem to shy away from a cause that means something to you, and you alluded to it earlier. Obviously, the Bradley Manning situation, among others, has inspired you. Talk about that and how other causes over the years have inspired your work and your writings.
Regardless of how we feel about what Bradley Manning did, the basic facts are these, that the Bush administration and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz and Condoleezza Rice all lied us into the Iraqi war. Everybody knows it. That's what went down. When those guys and that lady are walking the face of the planet free as birds, when the men that tried to tell us what was going on by the U.S. military and tried to tell the U.S. people what was going on in their name, he's facing, you know, many years in jail. This doesn't seem fair to me. That's why I wrote Almost Gone with James Raymond.
Which of your songs, when you are performing in concert, which songs do you most enjoy playing in front of people?
That's a good question, Paul, and my answer is this. I've never really been a man to look at the past. There's nothing you can do about it. Yes, we made some good music. Let's get on with life. My favorite song right now is a song that we're doing in the set called Burning for the Buddha, which is a song I wrote basically with James Raymond, with some help by our friend Marcus Eaton, about the 128 Tibetan monks that have burned themselves to death in protest between the Tibetan people and the Chinese government. That's my favorite song right now. Not only is it a great song to sing, not only is it a great melody, but it talks about things that people should really know about. When we were protesting the Vietnam War all those many years ago, one of the images that really struck home to me was one of a burning Vietnamese Buddhist monk who had burned himself to death in protest of the Vietnam War. And that image was probably on the front page of every newspaper throughout the world. What happened to the 128 people that have done it so far in the last year? Why are we not hearing this? Why is it not on the front page of every newspaper?
We're not far from Kent, Ohio, which figures prominently in one of the most famous Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young songs, Ohio. Do you take pride in knowing that people are still making that connection decades later?
Absolutely. We are most serious about our music. And one of the asides in this whole thing is that we had a single out, my song actually, Teach Your Children, that was going into the top 10, and that was destined to go much higher, some say even to number one. On May 4th in 1970, when the massacre at Kent State happened, and David showed Neil the magazine with the famous John Philo photograph of the student bending over the dead student at Kent State, and he wrote Ohio, you know, within an hour. Crosby called me, get the studio together. They were in Northern California. I was with Stephen in Los Angeles. We got Halverson, our engineer. We got the band, and we recorded it as fast as we could, and we put it out within 12 days, killing our own single. That's how important we thought it was. So, yes, I'm very proud that the association is still being made today.
Has anyone connected to that tragedy ever contacted you to express their feelings about the song?
Yes, we've done several benefits in Kent State, you know, to support the truth coming out of exactly what happened and who ordered the National Guardsmen to put live ammunition into their rifles. Who gave that order and who gave the order to fire? One of the things that is not known is that no one from the administration has apologized to the parents of the slain students, not even an apology. That's tragic. When a country starts to devour its own children, it's in deep trouble.
We're talking with Graham Nash, who is coming to Pittsburgh. Singer-songwriter Graham Nash will be here on Saturday, September 14th, to perform in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead. In light of the current debate over immigration, you wrote a song called Immigration Man.
I heard it stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in.
What can you tell us about the story behind it?
I was playing a concert in Vancouver in British Columbia and many years ago. And was held up at the border because my H-1 visa, there was something wrong with it, and all the other members of the band were let through except me, and I was furious about it. You know, I was furious that this country that I love so much, which I later became an American citizen of, was treating me this way. I was fuming all the way on the flight home to my home at that point in San Francisco, walked into my studio, sat down at the piano and wrote Immigration Man. When I put out the sheet music for my single of Immigration Man, I put a photograph of the Earth taken from the moon on the front and the moon taken from the Earth on the back, because I would really love the perspective of the astronauts standing on a different planet looking back at our Earth. No lines, no borders, no countries, just a ball of mud spinning, a beautiful blue ball of mud spinning in space. That's why I wrote Immigration Man. I'm an immigrant myself. I'm very lucky to be a member of the American public. But I decided many years ago, over 30 years ago, that I did not want to criticize this country, or praise it indeed, if I wasn't truly a part of it.
Come on, let me in, Immigration Man. Can I cross the...
Before Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you were part of the British invasion band The Hollies.
Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game now? Can anybody play?
You ended up leaving the group at the height of their success. Why is that?
Because I had heard me and David and Stephen sing. It's quite simple. When we first sang together in Joni's living room all those years ago, I knew what the rest of my life would be.
One morning I woke up and I knew.
It was undeniable to me. That sound, I mean, you must understand that we were all in bands that favored harmony singing, you know, the Buffalo Springfield, the Birds, and the Hollies. We were decent harmony bands. But I've always loved what I heard then. It has driven me to this day because we're all smart enough to realize that the most important part of our relationship is the music. And I heard it then, and I hear it today.
Carry on. Love is coming. Love is coming to us all.
After joining Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you had the chance to perform at Woodstock. Tell us about that experience.
Crosby said it best. It was like when we were approaching the Woodstock event in the helicopters. It was like flying over an encampment of the Macedonian army. There were, roughly 300,000 to 400,000 kids down there. Fires lit. It being raining. People huddling together. An unbelievable event. Both the beginning of something and the end of something, too. It was the end, basically, of kids getting together in a garage and having a great time, and it was the beginning of corporate control over mass audiences when they realized that 500,000 kids could be customers for, new sneakers and a new soft drink. An amazing event, though. I was very pleased to be there and I'm very proud to be associated with it because I think that all the issues that are the so-called hippie dream still are relevant to me. I do believe that that love is better than hatred. I really do believe that peace is better than war. I really do believe in taking care of my fellow citizen.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is singer-songwriter Graham Nash. You have been inducted twice into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
When I really deeply think about it, I'm tremendously honored, and I'll tell you why. Look at all the people that are in there. All my heroes, all my, Buddy Holly and Elvis and the Everly Brothers and Little Richard and Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis and Buddy Holly. I mean, all of them, they're all in there. And the fact that people think that I should be in there twice, that's an amazing situation for me. I'm very proud of it, I must say.
And yet, you haven't rested on your laurels, certainly. You continue to write. How has the process of songwriting changed for you?
It hasn't. I wake up in the morning, I take my first breath, I get on with my day, and I'm affected by what happens to me. I'm a human being, same as you. I get upset about things. I laugh about things. I fall in love with things. I don't like things. I'm a human being. And what I do best is communicate through music.
In addition to your music, Graham, you're an internationally renowned photographer whose work has been shown in galleries and museums worldwide. Where did your interest in photography come from?
My father. When I was 10 years old, my father turned me on to the magic of photography. He was like an amateur photographer. We were a very poor family in the north of England, and my father was a very hardworking man. He was an engineer, and one of the joys of his week was to be able to take me and my sisters out to the local zoo and take pictures of us, and then develop the film, and then print the film in my very, very small bedroom. And so he turned me on to the magic of photography when I was 10 years old, and I've never forgotten that magical moment.
Your long-awaited autobiography, Wild Tales, A Rock and Roll Life, will be published on September 17th. Tell us about your upcoming memoir.
I decided to write the. I'd been asked many times during the last 20 years to do this, and I never thought that I was old enough. I'm only 71. I didn't feel that I was, that my life was complete enough yet. Even though I've done a tremendous amount in my life. September 14th, when I play at Homestead, there will be the first birthday of my granddaughter Stella Joy, from my son Jackson and his partner Melissa. And about a year ago, I decided that I would like this young lady to know who her grandfather was. My children already know who I am. I've been with them all their lives. They have seen me operate. They have seen the way I deal with people. They have seen the way that I deal with my life. But Stella Joy has no idea who her grandfather is. And I decided that I would attempt this. in her honor.
Are you happy with the way it turned out?
I'm extremely happy. Would I change things? Of course. You know, but there's a point artistically when you have to recognize that you have to let it go, whether it's writing a song, whether it's sculpting a piece of marble, whether it's taking a photograph. You have to let it go at some point. And of course, everything can be better. In hindsight, everything could be better. But there is a point at which you have to let it go.
My guest has been Graham Nash. He's performing Saturday night, September 14th, at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead. Graham Nash, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Paul. Thank you very much. So just look at them and
I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.